This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, our next guest has come to our program a few times over the last couple of years, and it is a really great time to talk with him because I think we continue to see how we work, where we work, continue to evolve. Back with us with a special report about the company's Microsoft Work Trend Index is Jared Spataro. He's Corporate Vice President at Microsoft 365, and he's back with us. He's on the phone in Redmond, Washington. Jared, nice to have you back with Katie Garfield and myself. So how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me back. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you here. And I love this report because you guys, you know, collect so much data and really have a great view in terms of really how people are truly working. Tell us about the latest update on the Work Trend Index, who you surveyed, what you found out, what time frame. Give us all the background on it.
Well, our research here at Microsoft is historically focused on what we call information workers. So those are the folks who work at a computer and who often have been working remotely over the last 2 years. And we decided it really was time to focus on frontline workers. These frontline workers have really shouldered a lot of the burden over the last 2 years as they have not been able to go home. And so we wanted to find out kind of what was happening with them, how they were dealing with it, and how work is changing for them, and what would be the lasting trends.
And what stuck out to you in the results that you did find? And I'm curious how that compares to, you know, surveys that you've done with office workers.
Yeah, let's take a step back for a moment. There is really unprecedented stress in the system when we think broadly about business markets right now. And nearly every single business is facing kind of the same challenge. And it's how do they continue to drive business results and serve their customers, but at the same time balance that with employee well-being and growth. And I think that's really what stuck out to us is that as we look at this group of folks at all sorts of different types of roles, it's the people who couldn't go home, they have done so much to keep business running. But in many ways, they are feeling a bit frayed about the edges. So, for instance, if we hit some of the data just right out of the gate here, to weather the storm, it looks like these frontline workers have really turned to each other. We learned that 76% feel very bonded to coworkers because of the shared stresses that they've endured during the pandemic. But at the same time, they're starting to feel a bit of a distance between the work they're doing and the rest of their company. 60% of frontline workers say that leadership doesn't seem to prioritize culture and communication isn't reaching them. And so they're kind of feeling a little bit like they're on an island right now. And it's not so surprising to know that they were kind of bonding together, but that feeling that they're kind of off on their own, we think that's something for business leaders to take note of.
Well, it's so important too, and you remind us, and you kicked it off, but 80% of the global workforce, that's our frontline workers. So we're talking about those that are working at supermarkets, obviously healthcare, but so many of those individuals who kept so much going for all of us, especially at the height of the pandemic, here we are at, you know, other peaks, but kept things going because they had to and they couldn't do their jobs at home.
That's right. There are 2 billion, more than 2 billion frontline workers worldwide. They really do form the backbone of economies in just about every country. And for this particular survey, Carol, we went out across 9,600 frontline workers in 8 industries and across 8 countries. So our definition was you had to be doing all your work in person. It's a very broad definition, as you indicated. It included healthcare workers all the way to grocery store clerks, included people, for instance, who are on the front lines in a manufacturing facility, all across that. And we're just trying to get a sense for, you know, what's going on and what are they experiencing.
And Jared, you mentioned that it feels like they're experiencing this growing gap between the workers who are bonding with each other and actual management, that 62% say their company doesn't prioritize culture. I mean, is management aware of that?
Well, that's the thing. We do think that managers are very aware. I mean, we have a lot of empathy for what's happening here because that's the balance that companies are needing to kind of strike. They have to continue to serve their customers, so they recognize that that's a present demand on them. And at the same time, now they have to kind of balance the well-being and the learning and growth of these employees. So it's a hard task, to be very clear. And what we found is if you look at the center, kind of let's call it the corporate managers, they very much understand that there's an issue, but I don't think that they've always had a great deal of visibility into exactly what's happening. One really interesting difference between this and the IW, the information worker research that we did previously, we found that these frontline employees and their direct managers, who also tend to be frontline employees, so someone, for instance, in the store managing with them, that they are very close. In fact, there's a lot of closeness there, and those frontline managers really understand the issues.
Hey, listen, just got about 40 seconds, then we'll come back and chat some more, Jared. But I mean, what surprised you most in kind of doing this survey? And you and I have talked certainly around the, you know, on air about the IT workers. What was the thing that was really just stood out for you in the difference?
Well, here, I think one of the things that surprised me the most that happens to play into what we do is that, that these frontline workers say that technology can make a really big difference. There's been a lot of discussion about what, whether technology is good or bad for the frontline. We found that a lot of them said they think that it could make a huge difference in how they do their work.
Hey, one of the things in the report you do tackle are supply chains, and there's a lot of those frontline workers who were surveyed. They feel that more could be done to help those issues. Talk to us a little bit more about the findings there, Jared.
Yeah, you bet. If we take a step back for a moment just to get a sense, you know, put ourselves in the shoes of a frontline worker, 51% of folks who are in non-management positions don't even feel valued as employees right now. And that's just, again,
that's terrible.
They're having
that's
to bear.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah. And then as we move to the point that you were just making about supply chain issues, 52% of them say that they feel like more could be done. So there's just, you know, there's a lot of stress in the system, again. There's a lot that can be done. We think it's a really important time, but I think knowing what's going on is the half the battle. You know, it gets us started on the right foot.
Hey, Jared, how do we make this better? Because before the break, you said that technology can really make a difference here. Walk us through that, and how does Microsoft play a role in that?
You bet. Well, we have, coming out of the report, we have three different recommendations. The first is to prioritize culture and communication. The second is to really focus in on those frontline managers we mentioned a few minutes ago. And then this last one is technology. We were really heartened to see that technology ranked very high on a list of things that could help. 63% of frontline workers were excited about job opportunities that tech creates. And technology ranked third on a list of things that they say can reduce stress. It was behind more pay and vacation, not surprising, but it was ahead of mental health and well-being benefits. So there's this really great opportunity we think we have if we'll take a moment, recognize what's going on, really lean into these frontline workers with a lot of empathy and understand how we can help them and use technology to implement our plan. So that's kind of one of the big findings coming out of the study.
Jared, what are the conversations you guys are having at Microsoft? You just talked about technology, and I do think about there might be certain parts of our world, despite it feels like tech is everywhere and has evaded kind of everything that we do and in many ways made it easier, more functional. But I do wonder about these frontline workers, whether it's supermarket workers, healthcare. Increasingly, we see a lot more technology continuing to go into that area. You know, have there been things that you guys say, well, wait a minute, here we are, Microsoft, here's what we can do specifically to kind of change how these workers work and improve the situation?
The whole idea behind technology in a case like this is to empower the individual, and that's really what we're all about. What we want to do is to give them the information, to give them the decision-making authority, to help them do their jobs better. Everybody feels good when they can do a good job. And again, if we look at what the data says, a third of these frontline workers say that they just don't have the right technology to do their job. So simple examples can help. As a simple example, some of the things that we've introduced include a walkie-talkie function that is a part of what we call Microsoft Teams now. That's an app that you can run on your mobile device if you're a frontline worker. And, you know, maybe in a retail store you have seen that before where someone's able to tap a button on a headset and talk to all of their colleagues around a store to ask questions. That may seem like a simple thing, but that communication goes a long way. We also have done some really great work in what we call shift integration. This allows you to use technology to coordinate when you're just going to work, when is your shift, and if you have problems with that shift, can you actually switch it with someone else so that you can work Wednesday evening and they can work Wednesday morning for you. So those types of things seem small, again, because the information worker population, a lot of what's happened is their world has been digitized. As we digitize what's happening with frontline workers, we just bring an incredible amount of empowerment to them.
And Jared, what are the hurdles when it comes to adoptions? I mean, how much training do some of these programs and these apps require?
Well, the idea is to make it so that technology requires little to no training. And this comes from the fact that we can see in everyday life, in our consumer lives, the technology we use often is so easy that it's just something we pick up. However, we do hear from frontline workers that they've been given technology that either isn't simple enough or where they definitely need training and they don't get it. Over half, 55%, say that they've had to learn this new technology without formal training. So one of the other implications of the study is as we do all of these things, make all these changes, including including introduced technology. We really need to rethink skilling and learning on the job. We think that the way to go is what we call just-in-time skilling, where right at the moment when you need it, you get the training in small bite-sized pieces as opposed to some big, long training course you have to take.
Jared, just got about 30 seconds here, 40 seconds left here. I do think about our Bloomberg audience. I'm always thinking about an investment perspective in terms of anything and everything we do or how it impacts our economic growth going forward. Just your final thoughts, maybe with that in mind. And again, just got about 30, 40 seconds.
You know, a strong front line means a better bottom line for every company. And so we actually think, though these numbers look bleak on the surface, that it's an opportunity for real leaders to stand up within their industries and companies, lean into this, create an awesome environment for frontline workers. And again, we think that's going to translate into the bottom line.
All right. Always good to get time with you. Jared Spataro, Corporate Vice President over at Microsoft 365, on the phone from Redmond, Washington. Jared, by the way, will be participating in our work shifting event that's coming up on March 9th. For more information about it, please check out BloombergLive.com, because a lot going on here in our third year of the pandemic. Katie, that's one thing I just can't get my head around.
I know, I know. And I think about like the last time I went to the movie theater, I left the country. It's been a while, Carol.
Yeah, exactly. Even just, you know, feeling comfortable going out for dinner.